Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your LNC skills. I'm Pat Iyer, the host of the show. Every week, you will see or hear interviews with experts and tips from them as well as from me that will help you develop the knowledge that you need to succeed in this exciting field. I want to hear from you. Share your thoughts about the show by going to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Look for a red button on the homepage. When you click on that button, you can leave me a question or share a compliment or a suggestion about the show. I want to hear from you. Coming up March 14, 15, and 16, 2024, join us for the 9th LNC Success Online Conference. This is an event where you can get support, a community, and knowledge about the specialized field of legal nurse consulting. Get your ticket by going to this link, lnc.tips/March2024virtual. And if you see this podcast or hear this podcast after that date, go to the link and you'll be able to invest in the recordings. I'll see you there. Now, let's go to the show. Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. I am so pleased that you have decided to join us today for a talk with a profit acceleration specialist. Oh, I love the sound of that. She is a business advisor, a financial advisor, and she works with business owners to achieve their goals and their vision. She's a certified financial planner and an experienced consultant with a background working with clients in the U.S. and Europe. Please meet Karen Powell.
Hey, Pat, it's wonderful to join you today. I'm very pleased to be able to be on your podcast and to learn more about your audience and hopefully give them some good ideas.
Thank you, Karen. And Karen is going to be one of the speakers at our March 14, 15, and 16, 2024 LNC Success Conference. That's an online conference. I'll be sharing the link with you both now and at the end of the podcast. It's lnc.tips/March2024virtual. You can sign up for that conference to attend it live, or if you hear this podcast after that date, the recordings of the podcast will be available. Let's jump in. And Karen, as we talked about planning this podcast, we talked about some of the needs and challenges of legal nurse consultants, particularly those who are in an independent practice. For the person watching this podcast on our YouTube channel, Legal Nurse Business, or listening to it, one of the questions that pops up frequently is, what can I do to improve my business? What suggestions can you offer us?
Well, I would say the first thing to consider is to take an assessment of your business, like where are you currently in your revenue, number of clients, income, profitability, whatever you can do as your statistics for today, and then look into the future. What vision do you have for achieving those statistics on a higher level by the end of this year? And then maybe even look forward out to 3 years and say, how would I like to project that out there? So then what it does is helps you focus in on the things that are working and the things that aren't working. And you start then to make that list. And say, well, how can I do this more efficiently? And today, as you know, more than ever, we have so many tools and, you know, the AI chat and all of those things that really are accelerating and making business owners more efficient. So therefore, That's one way. And looking how you can increase your profitability, we'll go into that briefly through some other means. And one way that many people don't think about is how they may cut their costs. So what we have is do your assessment. And the second way is efficiency and profitability. And the third way is now how to incorporate ways to gain new clients and how to automate certain processes. Look at those things that you should be doing and not doing. So make your to-do list and make your don't-to-do list. In other words, don't do this list, because many people are not utilizing their time and energy and money to the best use if they are doing tasks that they can outsource or they can do more efficiently with a software tool or whatever. And there are some things that don't make them any money and should therefore be eliminated from the list of things they're doing. So that's the first thing. And then basically, you're going to map those out and look at those making them into action steps, and target each one of those so that basically you have a calendar of things, and then you'll be able to see what's happening, with your business by making those improvements.
Well, you've talked about several activities that are ripe for examination. How do you set priorities about what you should be tackling first?
Well, that's a very good question. And basically, that's the important thing as well. So, by making a list of all those steps that you see some areas of profitability and improvement, what you do then is see which of those will impact the business the most faster. And so you start on those, because once you have some success, you'll be able to continue to maybe even double your efforts, because you'll see that that has an effect on your business. So prioritizing, and I mean, these are many types of activities. It can be examining how can you have more referrals? Are you emphasizing enough contacts out there that are possibly you're missing out on those opportunities? Also, can you cut your costs in any way? Are there free services, softwares, or whatever that now you're paying for, and you can reduce those? Or are your prices set at the correct price? And in addition, you have other means that you can consider going forward to make sure that the short term you have some effect of improvement. But at the same time, look and see, now how can I really grow this company effectively? And that may take some time to implement those steps. And then essentially, especially if it's relationships and referrals, centers of influence that you haven't tapped, those may take a while to nurture, but can come back with many, many benefits down the road to grow your business. So that's the key thing there, is to not ignore those things, or don't put in the last priority, let's say, those that have the ways to expand your business. You want your business to be able to grow, and you're not just focusing on short-term effects like cutting costs or putting some other systems in place. So those are things that I think the way you can do that. Now, there are ways also to track and monitor those activities and then even calculate the impact of them. And so essentially what you do along the way, probably quarterly, is to make sure that you are tracking them and saying, okay, now these numbers have gone up. How much more can I increase them the next quarter, et cetera? And that it's takes a little time, but it's very worthwhile.
I can remember sitting in staff meetings when I was running my business full time and talking about these are our quarterly goals. How are we doing on them? Let's look at the numbers and see what are the things that we said 3 months ago that we would focus on and then review today where we were.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
And one of the things, Karen, that we talked about was on, in our quarterly goals, was on repeat business. I heard a speaker talk about the fact that it's so tempting to spin around in a circle and say, I want your business, and 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 overlook the fact that there are people who've already given us business who could be the source of more business. We can get caught up in chasing new clients instead of working with people who've already shown that they're willing to trust us with our work. Now, tell us about how we can focus on getting repeat or recurring business from a group of attorneys.
Yes, there are several ways and actually many models out there to do so. But for the LNC practices, I think there are a couple that are most applicable. And one is, for instance, the VIP or first in line model. So obviously those clients who have been very generous with their business to you, you want to make sure they feel valuable and rewarded. And if in fact they continue, or you can encourage them to continue several cases going forward, you may offer them some benefits that you could, you know, spell out and say, this is for our VIP clients. This is for those who need this or that special treatment. And since you fall into that category, now it doesn't mean that you're essentially maybe charging more, because I understand that that's unlikely to happen. Most of the time it's the same price for everyone. But obviously, if they're tracking either the speed of your work or your efficiency of your work, the number of contacts that you're willing to provide to them, all of these things will reinforce the reasons why they may give you additional business. And the second model that may work for LNC practices is one that I would call the reward model. And what that is you can put some package together, some benefits or special items that may be useful to them, and you may entice them to become clients, or you may reward your current clients with that. So as an example, I had a client who was very insightful, and what happened was she had pets, and when she traveled, she realized that it was a very big inconvenience to find the things that she needed or travel with those things. So she put together packages, kind of like a little personal care kit, you might say, for pets, and packaged it in a very attractive thing. And she marketed it to hotel chains. And the hotel chains were, you know, I mean, we're talking about thousands of locations. And she was able to make a very successful entree into that world, even though, you know, she saw something that they needed or wanted, but at the same time, it was not being supplied by her competitors. So the same thing can be done for your attorney clients, where you would put together a welcome kit, or you know, whether it be a reward kit, a nice little thank you for additional business or a referral. And let me tell you, when you send gifts to people, they start thinking about you more often, especially if they have those little things sitting on their desk or they're using them every day. They're constant reminders. Oh, yeah, I need to give Pat a call about this case, right? So I think that that's something that can be definitely beneficial for additional business.
Yeah, that's the holy grail in our field when we talk about giveaways. It's something that will sit on the attorney's desk and remind him or her about us.
Exactly, very important because they have a lot of things going on and may not remember you, but if your name and number are right there in front of them every day, you're more likely to be at the end of that phone call.
I know that it's easy to overlook potential sources of dissatisfaction in working with attorneys. And sometimes people will have a bad experience and not feel comfortable talking about it. They'll pay the invoice, they'll disappear, and they'll never come back again. What are your thoughts about using a more formal process of understanding customer satisfaction and dissatisfaction?
Before we continue with the show, I'd like to share this special announcement with you.
Have you considered exploring other avenues in nursing? Would you like to become a legal nurse consultant or expand your legal nurse practice? I have the perfect virtual conference for you. Our 9th virtual LNC Success Conference, which is March 14, 15, and 16, 2024. I'm Barbara Levin, past president of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants, and together with another past president, Patricia Iyer, we have been working together to take the pulse of legal nurses nationwide. And we have new topics, new speakers, new ideas, and some surprises for you. You will have the opportunity to network with legal nurses nationwide, as well as attorneys and business specialists. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing to you attorney Pat Filan. He is going to co-present a program unveiling the twists in a medical malpractice case. This particular case had a dynamic team of individuals, and those include individuals that worked together with him in his office, as well as others. And there were some obstacles in the case as well. He is going to talk to you about how he tackled the twists of the case and how they together brought this case forward with a positive outcome. Attorney Pat Filan is a very seasoned advocate with 40 years of success. He handles complex and routine personal injury cases, including medical malpractice cases, automobile cases, and others. Welcome today. I'd love to have you share with our audience a little bit about the case that you and I are going to be co-presenting.
Thank you, Barbara. Greetings, everybody. I'm delighted to get to know you, and I look forward to seeing you at the seminar, which I highly recommend. The case that we worked on was a case that at first blush looked like a very routine type of case, a hip replacement. And hip replacements are done, you know, every day in our society and typically done without any complications. But unfortunately, this case had a terrible complication. A person developed what was pretty close to a compartment syndrome, a compressive neuropathy of the sciatic nerve, and it left him with permanent life-altering consequences. And it was very tragic because he was a very active person before all this happened, and he prided himself on staying active and healthy. And what was unique about this case is you don't think about a hip replacement being anything but very, very routine with a very good outcome. We worked, Barbara and I worked, and anyone that worked with a legal nurse consultant would have benefited from the help of a legal nurse consultant in really taking a very close, hard look at the medical records and a very getting really into the weeds on that. There were a lot of things in the records which didn't really pass the smell test. And it really took a legal nurse consultant working with us in tracking the course of this. It was a compressive hematoma post-op, and some of the ins and outs of the medical records and the patient's medical course, which, quite frankly, a lawyer would not pick up on. And it was because of Barbara's savvy and experience that we were able to delineate where things went wrong. And the timeline was very important, especially with electronic medical records. There's more than meets the eye. It really takes the help of a legal nurse consultant to pick up when things are being done, as opposed to what they seem to be, the timing of them, looking at the records at a very superficial level. So we had a very good outcome in this case. Barbara was our legal nurse consultant and expert witness in directed at the deficiencies in the care rendered by the nursing staff. We also had a well-regarded hip replacement orthopedist who picked up on things. And I have to tell you that not everybody was that reviewed this case felt there was malpractice. But by working hand in hand with Barbara as our legal nurse consultant, our expert, we were able to delineate just where things went wrong. And we worked this case to a very good outcome. And it resolved without a trial, which is always a nice way of resolving these cases.
Thank you so much. So for all of you, we invite you to attend our LNC Success Virtual Conference. This is our 9th one. Jewels of this case will be shared, and there were some surprises during this case. Now, when individuals look at a case, there are times that people think, well, this is not a case, or it's a slam dunk case. But you have to expect sometimes the unexpected. And we are going to talk about some of those twists and turns in this case. So we invite you to join us March 14, 15, 16, 2024 for an exciting and knowledge-packed conference and presentation. You will have the opportunity to ask questions of Attorney Filan, as well as myself, as well as others. Please see the link below, lnc.tips/March2024 virtual. We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
Now let's return to the show.
Well, Pat, this is a issue that has been proven to be time and time again effective for small and large businesses, but it's so seldom used in the smaller arena, whereas large companies do this on a regular basis. And so it's very seldom that you might have a large company provide a service from you for you that you don't get some kind of request for a survey or a testimonial or whatever. And so this has been studied to a great length in the marketing world, and there's even a system for it. But I think the reason why it doesn't get done is that basically there is some reluctance. You're not sure what kind of feedback you're going to get, or you just get busy tied up into the next activity and don't take care of it. It is a little bit time consuming, but so valuable. Let me give you an example. So one client, she decided to ask every client after a project or service, about their experience. And when she found that that was such valuable information to help her adjust or improve her business, she also reached out to the other clients. Now, at my firm, I have a website called growprofit.com. And when folks are coaching clients, need to do their client survey, which I do recommend for every business person, they then get this service that we provide, which is a survey service that sends it out to their clients anonymously. But if you only have a couple dozen clients or less, you may be able to do that survey yourself. And actually, most clients are not going to consider that intrusive or problematic. If you look at or approach it where you are trying to improve what you're doing for them, that you value them so much, you want their opinion, good or bad or indifferent, you just want them to tell you how you're doing and what you could do better. I think a lot of people find that interesting and helpful, and they see the value that you mean to them. And so that is a very important thing. So it is important to ask clients either after you've provided the service. I myself, as a real estate owner, when I would have a tenant move out, every time I would take a survey and ask them, very simple, it can be filled out in 2 to 3 minutes, what their input is, because I told them it's really valuable. We want everybody to have a better and better service provided. And they never had that experience. It's so unusual for businesses to reach out like that. So that sets you apart too, just your service there, that you'd have that value put upon the survey, that you feel that your customer is really crucial in defining what services they get. Now, some business owners may not do it because they don't want to hear the negative. The negative is actually really important for you to hear, so that you can, if it's possible, change the experience the next time, or at least ameliorate that situation when it comes up. So that's why I feel that smaller businesses, more than even some others, need that input from their clients.
What questions do you think we should be asking in a survey?
Well, far and away, the most asked question is one that produces a score. And there, it's actually a refined tool that marketers use. It's called the Net Promoter Score. And the question is, based on your experience, how likely is it that you would recommend our service to your friends, family, or colleagues? Simple, one question. Now, obviously, if you have a couple of other questions, and you can ask a dozen questions, but that's going to limit the amount of input you get back. You should limit the questions to a handful, maybe two, three, not too many more. But the second question could be, why did you provide this rating? Or for what reason did you provide this rating? And essentially, that's also very insightful as far as what your feedback is. But then the third question, which really can give you really good tips on what to do about it, is what one thing could we do different to provide you a better value in the services that you received? So those are three questions, and really the first one is one that's used for this Net Promoter Score. So what happens is you give them a range of 1 to 10 on that number one question and ask them to rate it by number. And those that are between 8 and 10, those are your loyal or advocate type of clients. They probably are willing to give referrals to you, etc. The ones below 5 might be looking for someone else for the service the next time. And so basically you take a score from all your clients, pull it together and see where the average comes out. And then basically that's what you do with this. And then you do it periodically. You might do it, you know, every half year or once a year, and keep tabs on that. Your score needs to keep going up, up, up. And also you may need to find out what those 1 through 5s felt about it and why they had that score. And that's something you need to focus on.
I can think of a couple of surveys that I have filled out recently where I was very unhappy with the service or the quality of the product. And I waited to see if anybody would contact me. Not a word at all.
That's amazing. You know, because the thing is, you took the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you were going to benefit them with that time and that input. And for that reason, they should get back to you alone. But also to say, thank you. This was very helpful to us, and we are making inroads in that so that, you know, other people don't have that experience you have. That's the feedback people want to have, because they may consider coming back to that service again if they feel, well, it's going to be better the next time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the businesses or business owners just don't lay enough importance on this.
We've gotten those questions. We've put together a survey. We're looking for trends or patterns. Somebody has responded to us in a way that we can track. For example, we've asked for the name of the person who's completing the survey. What's another question that we can ask after we get that survey? And let's assume that is filled out by a person who's very pleased with the services that they've received.
Very important to respond to those as well. And basically, the start out not with a question, but with a statement saying, thank you. We value you as a client so very much. And all of your input was extremely helpful to us. And for that reason, we would like to have more clients like you. And so if you are able or interested, we very much would like to have a referral from you if you can think of someone that we can help as much as we liked helping you. So, I mean, you don't have to make it that long. You can just make them feel so, you know, special that they feel like, well, anybody that you that they refer is going to get this special treatment too. And you can even mention that we think that you're just such a wonderful client. You must know other people like you. We'll treat them with kid gloves if you provide that name to us. We want to give the same high level to them. You know, mm-hmm. So this is more likely to at least increase your their feelings of loyalty to you, but as well as their openness to provide those names.
You've given us a lot to think about, Karen, and reminded us and me of the importance of surveys in particular, something that's been on my to-do list but hasn't risen to the top. I have a feeling it will come up much higher on my list now, having heard your perspective on this. We are in a customer relationship business where attorneys like to work with legal nurse consultants who are easy to work with, who are responsive, who listen to them, who understand what their concerns are, give them great advice and guidance. And all of those things help with recurring revenue and recurring business.
Well, Pat, we didn't talk on some other issues that might also be of importance to your audience. So I would like to say that, you know, in the show notes, I will offer this building business blueprint so that they can use that blueprint to see how they can track and scale their business up the ladder of success. And then also, I have an app called Wealth for Life. That's Wealth with the number 4 Life. And basically, it's on the Apple and the Google Store for free. And it's geared to folks who want to sign up as a free member. They get very important information to improve their business. Lots of tools and videos and other things that will help them understand how to work on improving their business. So I welcome anybody who wants to download the app Wealth for Life and to also download the business blueprint in your show notes. And I hope they have a wonderful, successful year.
Thank you, Karen. To get the show notes, go to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. And you will find this podcast episode with show notes that will include the link to Karen's free report that she's offering, the blueprint for business. The app is important for you to download as well. Karen's app and my app, Expert Edu, are hosted by the same company. We are part of a network of people who have gotten business apps through Robert Evans and his colleagues who are to work together to help business owners and their clients get information at the tips of their fingers or in the palms of their hands in this case, since these are apps for mobile phones. Please be sure to check out the link for our March 14, 15, and 16 conference, where you'll have an opportunity to hear Karen speak again and go deeper into this topic. You can sign up at the link below this video, right below the screen, lnc.tips/March2024virtual. And we'll see you there. And hang on for just a few more minutes as I share with you who's coming up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Coming up next on Legal Nurse Podcast, you'll have an opportunity to hear about marketing related to a specific type of service that legal nurse consultants provide, which is observing patients while they are being examined by a physician, hopefully a neutral physician, but maybe sometimes not so neutral. This is a specialized aspect of legal nurse consulting, and our guest is a master at managing a large volume business providing nurses who will go to physician offices with patients to support them during the exam and then write up what happened. Sylvia Enenye was my podcast guest, and I'm going to ask her a question right now. What do we cover in your podcast, Sylvia?
What we're going to be covering in the podcast today is questions, you know, regarding the type of law firms that are out there that you would market to, how to approach these lawyers, also what LNCs need to know before they approach these lawyers, what marketing strategies we're supposed to apply depending on what type of law firm it is, and also any general tips on invoicing and how to handle payment issues with a lot of, you know, the attorneys that are your clients. That's generally what we're going to be addressing today.
You will find this session fascinating if you have any interest at all in developing an LNC practice providing observation at defense medical examinations, or if you want to grow your business and do more of these kinds of cases. Coming up next on Legal Nurse Podcast. I'll see you there. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Check out my resources at legalnursebusiness.com and join us for the March 14, 15, and 16, 2024 LNC Success Online Conference. Get your ticket today at lnc.tips/March2024virtual. I'll see you there.